Find out what the whole world is thinking in The Agenda.
This week on The Agenda, as Germany's Olaf Scholz ends his second visit to China as Chancellor, we examine just how relations really stand between Beijing and Berlin. Cooperation between Berlin and Beijing is an opportunity, not a risk. That was the message from President Xi Jinping to Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz on his second visit to China. Scholz added Germany was committed to free trade without confrontation, while Xi warned against rising protectionism. So how might the relationship between the two countries develop following this visit? Joining me now are Dr. Ulrich Brückner, Jean Monnet Professor for European Studies at Stanford University in Berlin, Stefan Dardelen, a member of the German Bundestag in Berlin, and Wang Huiyao, founder and president of the Center for China and Globalization. Thanks, all of you, for coming on this edition of The Agenda. Dr. Ulrich, I'll start with you, because Chancellor Scholz, he had to walk quite a fine line here, didn't he, on this trip, promoting German business interests, but also delivering warnings from Europe about trade and about geopolitical tensions. Do you think he succeeded?
Well, he definitely walked the thin line. And on the one hand, it's clear that the second and the third largest economy in the world could do a lot, not only to boost the global economy, which is not doing so well, but both countries are very much dependent on it, economically speaking. And at the same time, we see that Russia's invasion in Ukraine causes major global problems that China could fix if it would use its weight to stop the war. That would be the biggest economic boost. And I think this was a strong message that Scholz tried to get across.
Well, Wang Huiyao, would you agree with that assessment from China's side?
Well, I think that the Chancellor Olaf Scholz actually made a very significant visit to China this time within a year and a half. He brought a large, significant, high-level business delegation. But also we see so many other German parties participated around his visit, like just for my think tank, Center for China Globalization. We hosted a delegation from SPD, CDU, also Munich Security Conference, and also Cobo Foundation, just to name a few. But I think that the achievement of this timely visit is multifaceted. You know, first of all, they emphasize the second and third largest economy has to work together for the global benefit. But also, they have reached some consensus in terms of on the Russian war in Ukraine, but also on the Gaza crisis. So of course, Chinese side has reiterated that we should continue to pursue peace. There's no nuclear should be fought, and also we need to have a peace talks as soon as we can. And China is willing to be part of this process. And also we have to abide by the UN Security Council resolution on Gaza and things like that. But on top of this, I think this is very significant because Olaf Scholz had a 3 days extensive visit, and he visited industry, universities, high level meeting with President Xi and the Premier Li, and also talked in the business roundtables. So I think achieved a great progress in terms of Sino-EU and Sino-particularly German relations. It's a good example of how the economy of the significant of the world has to work together.
They are working together. And Stefan, I wonder, let's focus a little bit on what President Xi said about that cooperation between Beijing and Berlin being an opportunity, not a risk, but an opportunity. Where do you think that those opportunities really came to the fore on this trip?
Well, we have to see in the future in where are the opportunities following this visit. What we do need is a turnaround in Germany's China policy, I do believe, because Chancellor Scholz must also make it clear through action that all the talk about the beginning of a decoupling or the beginning of de-risking from China in terms of trade relations is extremely damaging. Increasingly close trade links are also an important contribution to peace, and this must not be put at risk carelessly. And what I learned during my visit to China is that the best way to improve German-Chinese relations would be for Germany to adopt a more independent foreign and security policy towards the United States of America. So more sovereign and independent foreign and security policy. Otherwise, Germany is rightly not perceived as an independent player in China. And the question always arises as to whether it would be not better to talk to Washington immediately instead of Berlin or instead of Brussels even. So as a result, many potentials and areas of economic cooperation are currently not being used at the moment because of the inner German debate also. And this urgently need to be changed for the benefit of both sides.
And Ulrich, I'd like to bring you in again, because there was almost inevitably talk about de-risking once again. So where are we actually seeing that, or is it just rhetoric?
Well, first of all, we have to distinguish when we look at the mutual dependencies. There is a form of wishful thinking in Germany for a long time that we can rely on Russia to import cheap gas, and this will last forever until it doesn't. There's a similar belief that we can count on the United States to provide cheap security, and that lasts forever until it doesn't. And there is an equal dependency with China that is so huge that there is no thought about decoupling, because we both can simply not afford this. So that was no longer a topic. We are mutually so dependent on each other that we would harm each other economically massively if that would even be a thought. So de-risking means that Germany doesn't put all the eggs in one basket and rather reaches out to other growing economies in Asia to diversify its portfolio, which certainly doesn't apply to the country, the companies that accompanied Olaf Scholz. So the big companies like BASF, the chemical giant, and the big car manufacturers are so massively invested in China that for them, de-risking means that they should invest more to benefit from the economic potential there. So there is a conversation about de-risking, but Olaf Scholz, for some surprisingly, made clear that in his understanding, we should rather highlight the partnership, which is a statement sent to the United States that Germany is not the poodle of the US and follows no matter what. But again, China increases the dependency of Germany if the war in Ukraine continues. And if they want Germany to be a partner, then de-risking would mean that we settle this conflict not more sooner than later.
Chancellor Scholz emphasized that importance of fair competition, didn't he, during the visit? And I wonder how you interpret that stance, particularly because the two are very important economic partners for each other.
Well, first of all, I just have to add something. Mr. Brückner said, well, we do have a coalition in Germany, and we do have a coalition in Berlin, which is sending completely contradictional mixed signals. And that's why Chancellor Scholz's visit was certainly the most difficult for him this time. And I do believe that Scholz realized one thing, that first of all, the German industry, which is shrinking because of the dumb Western sanctions against Russia. You remember the German foreign minister wanted to ruin Russia with this economic sanctions against Russia. But what we are facing is we are ruining our own industry. Our industry is shrinking last year, and this year is almost the same. And the Russian industry is rising. And one of the major reasons is that we do not have the cheap energy anymore. We are spending more money for a very expensive LNG fracking gas from the United States. So we have, on the one hand, we have this damage of the German industry and industrial complex. And the other hand is we have more and more voices for decoupling, de-risking, confrontation against China. And we can see, because the investment was rising from Germany to China last year, even though we have this debate, political debate here, that means the German industry is facing such a big challenge that they decided to fight rather than to fly from China. So they're going to fight for their investment in China because they know they lost the cheap energy, one of the major, how you can say, major reasons for the economy, for the prosperity in Germany. And then they are going to lose the market, the investment in China, and that's the end of German industry and German industrialization as well. And I think in regarding the fact that Scholz was having so many major managers from VW, from BASF, from Mercedes, from BMW, and so on, they were all with him in this trip to China. Mm-hmm. I think he wanted to send them the signal that they can count on him to back them for the investment in China. And therefore, I think it was a good good trip, good visit for the future relationships.
So German companies want to invest more in China, and of course Chinese companies want to invest more in Europe and in Germany in particular. Wang Huiyao, President Xi warned against rising protectionism, and there are certainly trade tensions in sectors like EVs, solar energy, just to name two. What do you think this visit has done to ease those tensions?
Absolutely. I mean, you see all the German industry giant followed Olaf Scholz. And actually they realize, you know, being China and Germany are two largest manufacturing countries in the world. They are strong in industrialization, and they are strong in manufacturing, and they're the leaders of those areas. And also the EV cars. We have all those German automakers in China, and they are also going to make EV cars too. And I mean, Tesla already made half of its EV car in China. So China has already become a state of the art, and also the R&D center, and also the test market, and also the most competitive market of EV cars. So if a German company wants to, you know, expand to the world, and if, you know, they have to conquer the China market first, and then before they go global. So that's already shifted the EV car center now to China. So it's to the Germans' advantage, even to its survival of its automakers, to be in China. And so that's really beneficial, and that's really good for both sides. And same is true for Chinese companies in Germany. I mean, like Huawei is in Germany making some 5G networks. It's so German 5G networks is much better than UK and other countries who really stopped the Huawei operation. So it's really good. I think it's good for both sides, and that we have to revitalize this industrial linkage, and which is also good for the peace and benefit of the world, and also to really lead the world in this innovation process. And of course, there's much more than that. There's a climate change, there's environment cooperation, there's also trade and tourism, student exchanges, investment. You know, we have to really have keep the normal trade, particularly when Europe and Germany facing existential threats and the Russian-Ukraine war, and also the spillover of the Middle East. And also, again, China and Germany and EU to that extent, we have to work together to stop this, you know, spillover of the Iranian-Israel fight. I'm in Germany now attending a conference in Berlin at the Berger Foundation on making peace and mediation. It's important. I mean, the consensus there, China and EU and Germany should work together to maintain the peace for the Middle East and also Europe. EU can, Germany can help mediate China-US relation. China certainly will do all its best to help Germany and EU to mediate the EU-German-Russian this conflict. Absolutely. I mean, we need each other. We can cooperate with each other.
Sevim, Chancellor Scholz also took with him on this visit government ministers from the agricultural ministry, environment, transportation. I wonder what you think the messages that sends and what was achieved by it.
Well, I do believe that the message was that he takes the German-Chinese relations very serious. That it's very worthwhile for the German Chancellor, for the German government under his leadership. And he wanted to follow up actually the policy of Chancellor Merkel towards China. I think this is the signal what Scholz wanted to show with his delegation, the political and the economical delegation. But as I said, in the end, Chancellor Scholz will have to show whether he has the strength and will to pursue an independent German policy that focuses on expanding German-Chinese relations rather than participating in, for example, military showdowns in the Indo-Pacific region, what the German army is doing.
Ulrich, we're talking about this, the relationship between Berlin and Beijing, and I wonder what you think the impact of that is on the direction of EU policy towards Beijing.
Well, this is exactly the next step after what we just heard about the constraints that Olaf Scholz is facing.
Yeah.
On the one hand, he is just a partner in a coalition of three very different partners in the German government. And on the other hand, he is just one in a voice of 27 heads of state and government in the European Council with a strategy by the European Commission, which was highlighting much more the risk part of a closer relationship in an EU-Chinese relationship. So it is an important voice what Germany says, but whether there is already something like a coherent position or if Vice Chancellor Habeck, who will travel to China, will send a different signal in June, remains to be seen. So both is a cacophonic orchestra, the German level and the European level, and it's too early to tell in what direction we are moving. But at the end of the day, it all depends on the dependency of Europe towards the United States, and that has first and foremost to do with what's happening in Ukraine. Because the longer this war lasts, the more we owe the United States their provision of security, and they will ask us in return to be more engaged in the Indo-Pacific region, and that is the last thing China wants to see happening.
So that's what Germany and what the EU are doing in terms of their position towards China. So Hui Yao, I wonder what you think from the other way around. Do you think that China approaches Germany in the same way that it does with each individual EU member state?
I think absolutely. That's exactly the dilemma I think German public, EU has. On the one hand, they want to reduce a bit their dependency and pursue more strategic autonomy, which can help them on the Russian-Ukraine war. But exactly the help is China. You know, I mean, they depend on the U.S. for security, but then they probably depend more on China, on persuading Russia and maybe even be a partner of the EU to stop Russia. But then they need to be less hostile to China. They need to be really friendly with China, because they are already largest economic beneficiary from China, largest trading partner of China. So this kind of a dilemma then they have to overcome. They can't just get the benefit of the economic cooperation with China, but then on the other hand, bashing China, sanctioning China, not allowing Chinese companies doing business or investing in EU or Germany. But then at the same time, they want China, demanding China to stop Russia. So you can't get a cake and eat it at the same time. So I think we have to adjust the policy. So you remember when U.S. wants China to help confront the Soviet Union, we don't know how many times Henry Kissinger made his secret visit to China. Now, I think, the EU is divided. I think they should really come together, have a pursue a more friendly policy with China. I think, you know, with German and French leaders taking some good examples, we can have a little more neutral, more stable cooperation with China and EU.
Sevim, this was Chancellor Scholz's second visit to China, but his first since he determined that China was to be a partner, competitor and systemic rival. He said that last year. I wonder how you think all of that has impacted this visit as compared to the previous one.
Well, I think this visit was, as I said, the most difficult for him after this saying. And I do believe that it would be very desirable for the people in Germany, but all over Europe and in the world as well, to work alongside with China to de-escalate the situation in Ukraine, for example, and also in the Middle East with Gaza. I think it would be good whenever they talk to China to help creating peace in Ukraine or in the Middle East. I think it would be good for German government to reflect their own policy how much do they contribute for peace and prosperity in the world, especially in Ukraine and in Gaza. And but at the end, I would really hope that the positive impulses would be incorporated and that there would be a more consistent, as Mr. Brückner said, a consistent approach within the German government in future, for example, with regard to the One China policy. And it would be also be a very important, very right signal of mutual appreciation if the German government would block a veto NATO's planned expansion into Asia against China in the NATO Council. So the German government must really understand that the interests of the German people are not matching, are not congruent with the U.S. interests which seek a confrontation with China. And I hope that Chancellor Scholz at least learned a little bit in his last trip in China that this is the point.
We've looked at trade and investment, but what about those cultural connections too? Ulrich, let me put this to you, because Chancellor Scholz also visited some universities while he was on his visit to China. Do you think that there are going to be maybe more exchanges between students in Germany and China? What would that mean? What needs to happen? Why is that important?
Well, it is important for a mutual understanding, because in these universities, we grow the next political and economic leaders in our societies. I've been working with Fudan University for more than 10 years in an exchange between my alma mater, the Freie Universität, and Fudan. And I just got an invitation from Dong Ji, where Chancellor Scholz gave his talk and interacted with students, to relaunch something similar. Because on the one hand, we urgently need to better understand each other. And on the other hand, the German economy is urgently seeking for the best brains in the global economy. This is a competition that is not just a German question, but the rest of the world is looking for smart young people. And China has a lot of smart people to offer.
Wang Huiyao, where do you see German Chinese relations progressing from here? Is it going to start with people? Is it going to be about business, trade and investment? Or is there something broader that we can look to?
Well, I think it's all the above, because first of all, business is actually fundamental, because German, you have cultivated in China for almost 40 years. And I mean, it's the largest market, the growing middle class. Now they have a 400 million middle class. And by next decade, according to Premier Li, going to be 800 million. How can German auto, all the industry, passive, Merck, I mean, all those big companies, abandon that? That's not realistic. I mean, we have the gas lessons, but we cannot falling apart again on this industrial manufacturing capacity. But furthermore, I think Germany and China has a long history and had a very good exchange of relations. We have no bordering issues. We are culturally highly supplementary, and it's a great two nations in the world, and the second and the third largest economy in the world. We got to work together. I mean, if the first and the second economy can't work together, the second and third large economy has to work together. I mean, we already work together. We have so many good success stories, and I think that the market for China is also important for the German, and vice versa. So let's set aside those ideological and those overemphasized security. Let's starting with the people. China has opened visas for German to go free, and student exchange. There's 50,000 Chinese students in Germany, and we hope to have more German tourists and also students. And I'm sure with the next generation have a better views and better assessment. Well, we could get more normal relation. And I'm sure with China now opened more further, there will be more exchanges. We see so many Germans are visiting China. And I'm sure, since believing, after they came and watched from the real, they will probably have a different views. And that's going to build up the common understanding and the trust. And I hope that the bilateral relation will be stabilized and improved with years ahead.
Wang Huiyao, Stephen Dardellen, and Ulrich Brückner, thank you all very much. But for now, from me, Juliet Mann, and from all the Agenda team here in London, goodbye.